Today's shir is Maseches Levachim, Daf Samach Dal. We'll be beginning Daf Samach Dal, Amud Aleph, the end of the second line, Shlosh Dvarim. We learned in the Mishnah that the southwest corner, the Mishnah listed three things that were done on the upper half, on Lamal Mechut HaSukra, and three different things that were done Lamat Mechut HaSukra. The first thing that we learned was that Chatas Ha'oif, that's where the avoid of the Chatas Ha'if was done. It says the Gemara, how do we know so? Because Hadamaran, as we learned in the previous year, that the Torah compares the avoid of the Chatas Ha'if to the avoid of the Hagosha of the Karban Mincha. And as we learned at the end of our previous year, given that the Torah uses two words by the Hagosha, Pnei HaMizbeach and Pnei Habayis, so as we learned in our previous year, the way to fulfill both of those requirements is by having it done on the southwest corner. And now that the Torah compares the Chatas Ha'if to the Hagosha of the Karban Mincha, it'll have the same halacha. Hagosha the Ksiva Gisha Pnei Mizbeach, as we just mentioned. And Shiori Hadam, the Shiori Hadam of the Karbonis that were brought inside the Beis HaMikdash. We discussed this extensively earlier in our Masechta. That we know that the leftover blood is supposed to be poured onto the Yisoid. How do we know that it's poured onto that corner? The Ksiv is called Dama Par Yishbech Yisoid HaMizbeach. And as we discussed, Daf Nun Aleph, the Gemara proved, and Tosfos we learned then said, because that's the place that's closest to when you exit the Beis HaMikdash. And as the Rishonim go on to explain, it's obvious that when we identify an area, it has to be a corner, because, and we mentioned this, I believe, in the previous year, you always try to do, the halacha is always to do avoida on the corner of a mizbeach. Then, as we said, the Mishnah mentioned different avoidas that are done on the upper half of that southwest corner, Mimala. The upper west, southwest corner was used for Nisach HaMayim Vayayin. Nisach HaMayim we know is on Sukkos. Nisach HaYayin is after every carbon is brought. For Oilus Ha'if Kishirabah B'Mizrach. That even though the proper place to bring the Oilus Ha'if is on the southeast corner, however, if there's an abundance of Oilus Ha'if, that there isn't enough room on the southeast corner, then it was brought on the southwest corner. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why was that the corner chosen where the Oilus Ha'if should be brought if there was an overabundance and the southeast wasn't enough? And as the Rishonim interestingly point out, although in our previous piece of Gemara, the halachas that were done on the bottom half of the southwest corner were all based on psukim, here as we begin this Gemara, it's not psukim that lead us to this conclusion, but rather what pushes us to this conclusion that this is the place to do it, are more practical considerations, as we will understand in the Gemara. So again, ask the Gemara, why, if the southeast corner isn't available for the Oilus Ha'if, did they go to the southwest corner? Rabbi Yochanan Omar says, Rabbi Yochanan, Ibn Eshe Kroiva, the Beis Hadeshin. Because that is the closest spot to the Beis Hadeshin. And as we're going to learn, the Meir V'Noitza, the feathers, and the crap is the ear, is this part of the animal, we'll discuss this more in future shiurim, the part of the bird, where first the food, after the bird eats it, falls in there, and it's partially digested before it goes down to the zephek for full digestion, had to be thrown, and as it is, as we'll learn in a moment, it was quite a throw that the Kohanim had to do, so they want to make it as close as possible. Actually, the Miches Chinuch seems to indicate that it didn't have to be Kohanim that would throw the Meir V'Noitza, but it had to be thrown, as the Ravid says. Other Achroinim, and it seems that that's what Shad and the Gemara must be, seem to indicate that the throwing of the Meir V'Noitza of the Oilus Ha'if should be done by Kohanim. And indeed, comments Rabbi Yochanan. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Bo'o Re'ei Kamagodul Koicha Shekohanim. Let's see, we could see how strong the Kohanim were. She'en l'cha kal ba'oifis, there's nothing lighter in a bird, yoysim emoira v'noitza, than the crap and the feathers. And pa'amim, at times, shekahayin zarkin yaiser, sometimes it takes the kohen, the kohen has to throw it for a distance more than shloshim amah, has to throw it for a distance of 30 amah. And as the Sfasemis points out, obviously, what wasn't permitted was just to tie a stone to these items to make it easier to throw a distance. They had to be thrown on their own. Furthermore, as the Ravid says, the halacha is, the Torah uses the words v'hishlich, they should be thrown. Because as we're about to begin learning, throwing them was quite a difficult accomplishment. So just don't throw them, wrap them down, says the Ravid. Since the Torah uses the word v'hishlich, they must be thrown, and now we have an issue. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Tumid, we know that every day one of the first avoidas done in the Beis HaMikdash was Trumas Hadeshin. And the Mishnah Masechta Tumid describes that avoida. What happened was, Notel Machtash Kesef, they took a silver shovel. And the Rishonim explained that they used the same shovel, this is Gemara Masechta Yuma, they used the same shovel both, as we're about to learn, to stir the coals on the Mizbeach, and then used it to transport that to the Beis Hadeshin. Why was it a Machtash al Kesef? Usually the Kalim used in the Beis HaMikdash were gold. The answer is because since they were being used for this avoid, and they're going to get rubbed out, they're going to get fall apart, so they didn't want to have to use gold, they used silver. Actually, I saw some of Farshim suggest that even copper could have been used, but the copper that was used in the Beis HaMikdash was expensive and rare to find, and it was easier to make a silver shovel than to make a gold shovel. Furthermore, interestingly, I saw that in the time when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, and we know that in the time of Shlomo HaMelech there was great wealth in Klal Yisrael, they used a gold, they did indeed use gold shovels. So again, says the Mishnah, Notel Machtash al Kesef, they took a silver shovel, V'ola L'Rois HaKevet, Mizbeach, and they went to the top of the Mizbeach, Opina Esekacholim, Eilich V'Eilich, and they moved the coals that were on the Mizbeach around, V'Chota Mena Mecholos HaPnimius, and then they took out from the inner pieces. And here too we find the Machloikas Rishonim, what exactly did they take? Some Rishonim suggest that the reason they took from the inner pieces, because to do Trumas Hadeshin properly, they weren't supposed to take coal. They were supposed to take burnt organs. And the organs were deeper in, so they had to shovel to get to those organs. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that they took actually coals. But the coals that they took were supposed to be coals that were ready, completely burnt. And since those were coals that were well burnt, they had to go into the inner coals, which were closer to the fire and were more charred. Which actually goes on to a question. We know that the coals that were used on the Mizbeach HaKetoiros, on the inner Mizbeach, on the Mizbeach HaPnimi for the Ketoiros, also had to be taken from the Mizbeach HaChitzoin. And the question is, if we're going to say that the definition of Mechalos HaPnimius means the organs that were burnt, the Avrim that were burnt, that isn't what you use for the Ketoiros. If on the other hand it means coals, again, if they're regular coals, then those indeed were the same type of coals that were used for the Ketoiros. But if we're saying that it means the well-burnt coals, in likelihood they didn't use the well-burnt coals for the Ketoiros. So they took from these coals, the yard, the gil, the ritzpah. And now the kohen walks down the mizbeach, down the ramp, and is at the floor, at the foot of the ramp. And here too, the Rishonim make the following point. When a kohen walks on the mizbeach itself, on the top of the mizbeach, he had to be careful to walk not with his back to the mizbeach. But once he gets to the ramp, to the keves, he can walk regularly, he just walks right down the ramp. So let's think about what's happening now. We discussed numerous times previously that there was the Mizbeach and there was the ramp of the Mizbeach, which was on the south side of the Mizbeach. The Kohen is walking down the ramp, holding these mecholoi sapnimis to do trumas adeshen. And he walks down the ramp, he's just walking down, so his back is to tzofen, his front is to darim. And then as he gets to the bottom of the keves, he turns around. He turns around, and now he's facing the mizbeach. He's facing tzofen. So continues the Mishnah. Machs upon of klapit tzofen. So he got to the bottom of the ramp, turned around facing tzofen. The hoylich lemizrach shel keves. And now he walks along the right side of the ramp, the Mizrach side of the ramp, Esra Amos, for 10 Amos. So that means, to understand, if we learned that the ramp was 32 Amos long, and now we're learning that the place where the Deshen was deposited was 10 Amos unto the length of the Mizbeach, so that's where he stopped to do the Trumas HaDeshen. Why specifically 10 Amos? Why that spot? So of course, there are Rishonim that suggest that it was a halach l'Moshe Sinai, that is the place for the Trumas HaDeshen. There are other Rishonim that suggest that it was particularly made in that place. That was the best place for it to be, where it's not too close and not too far for anything that had to be done. Furthermore, as the Mishnah says in Masechet Tamid, not only was the Mecholos HaPnimius of the Mizbeach HaChitzin put on this spot, but also the burnt coals of the Mizbeach HaKtiris and the ash from the menorah, all were deposited in that place. Interesting machlokes rishonim, because the Gemara says Masechet Yuma that the ash of the menorah, the ash of the Mizbeach HaKtiris was absorbed into the ground. There's a machlokes rishonim if the Mecholos HaPnimius of the Mizbeach HaChitzin also that nace occurred, that it got absorbed into the ground, or not. So now continues the Mishnah. Tzavar asa gecholim al gabei haritzpah. Now he put the gecholim from the Mizbeach HaChitzin on this spot next to the Mizbeach. Rochot min hakeves solosh tvachim. Didn't put it right along the wall of the ramp. He distanced it 3 tvachim. Why? So here too, I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is, again, like I said a moment ago, there's a halacha l'Moshe Sinai exactly where everything should take place. Another pshat that I saw, very practical consideration, is they didn't want to put the ash right next to the wall of the Mizbeach because they didn't want to get the wall of the Mizbeach black from the ash. A third pshat, going very much relevant to our sugya, is because the Kohen, as we're learning, is standing on the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, and we're going to discuss this more in a moment, throwing the Meir of the Nights to that spot. So if the Makam HaDeshen will be flush with the Mizbeach, it'll be hard for the Kohen to see exactly where to aim to throw the Meir of the Nights. By distancing it somewhat from the Mizbeach, he could get a better view and aim properly. So again, Tzavasa gecholim agabe ritzpah. He piled up these gecholim on the floor. Rochik min hakeves solosh tvachim. 3 tvachim away from the ramp. Mokoin, that is where shenoisten mar v'nitzah. That's where they put the crap and the feathers of the oilus oif. That's where they put the dish mizbech apnimi, as we just said, when they clear out the mizbech apnimi. That's where they put the ash when they clear out the menorah. Ask the Gemara. And now we have to do a little math here. So let's see. Exactly, we said a moment ago in the Gemara that when the Kohen, because there was too much oil, there were too many carbonous oilus oif being brought, had to do the avoida of the oilus oif on the southwest corner. So the Gemara said it meant him throwing these very light objects 30 amos. How do we get to that calculation? Let's think about it. The Mizbeach itself, we've learned many times, was 32 amos wide. The ramp was 16 amos wide. So if we look at the Mizbeach, and we look at the ramp in front of the Mizbeach, 16 to 32 is 16. So there's 8 amos on each side of the ramp open. The Kohen did not stand exactly on the corner, because we have to deduct an amma for the yusoid, the base of the Mizbeach. We have to deduct an amma for the soivev, the ledge, and we have to deduct an amma for the keren on that corner. So we take from 8, that's the overlap that the mizbeach is past the keves, we deduct 3, 8 minus 3 is 5. So we have 5 ammas, and then we have the entire width of the keves itself is 16. 16 plus 5 equal 21. Now let's look, that's in the width. That's in the width side. Now let's look in the length side. We just said that where was the Makom HaDeshen? Gemara said. The Makom HaDeshen was 10 amas into the length of the keves. So if the keves, we know, is 32 amas long, how at what point was the Makom HaDeshen? At the 22nd amma. 32 minus 10 equal 22. Now, let's, one more point. The Kayan, who's standing with this Meir of a Neitzah that he needs to throw, is also takes up an amma. So it's not really 22, it's 23. So the two dimensions of this triangle, the Kayan standing at the corner, and he's throwing it diagonally, the side, the length, will be 23 ammas. It will include the Kayan himself, and the width will be 21. What is the average between 21 and 23, 22. Now, there's a mathematical formula, which is not really precise, but is always used by the Gemara. How do you calculate the diagonal of a triangle? The Gemara uses the formula of taking the average of the two sides that you know and multiplying it by 1.4. So if over here, let's just review, if over here we have one wall is 23, as I just said, the length. The width is 21. The average is 22. Now, if we want to know the diagonal, it'll be 22 times 1.4. If you multiply 22 times 1.4, you have 30.8. So the diagonal of this triangle that the Kohen is standing on the southwest corner of the Mizbeach and throwing these light objects, the Meir of a Neitzah, all the way to the Makom HaDeshen, means that he threw it a distance of 30.8 amas. What's the problem? The Gemara said he threw 30 amas. And we just made a calculation of 30.8. That's the Gemara's question. Let's learn the Gemara. Hani, based on the calculation that we just made, Tfei Mitzlos and V'chad Havyan, it's up to 31. How do we say, almost 31, how do we say 30? Answers the Gemara. How did we come to this number? Because we included actually two figures. We included, which is most notable for our shir, that when we talk about the length, it's not just 22 amas, the length of the keves, from where the keves is by the Mizbeach, up to the Makom HaDeshen, but we added one more amma for the Kohen himself. So it's about deduct that amma. And if you deduct that amma, it'll take it down, and it'll make the diagonal less, and it'll be 30. And that's how we end up with the Gemara saying that he had to throw at a distance, which is quite a feat, of 30 amas. Continues the Gemara. But we learned in the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, as we discussed in the previous year, the halach is that normally when one goes up the Mizbeach, he always walks up, and we'll discuss this more on the base, walks up the ramp and makes a sharp right turn. Why? Call Pinoy Shatapina Loyehe Ella Derech Yamin. However, the Mishnah said there were three exceptions. One was when somebody went up to do the Nisach HaMayim. One was when somebody went up to do the Nisach HaYayin. And the third is when somebody is going to do the Avodah with the Oil HaSa'if. And the Gemara asked the obvious question. If we know, as we discussed just in our previous year, that there's such a serious rule that kol pinush at the pina, like hey ela derech yamin, why over here is there not that rule? My tama, why over here is there not that rule? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Yochanan, the sochem shemis ashnu. If the kohen is going to have to walk up the mizbeach, carrying the wine, and has to circle the entire mizbeach, as the smoke is coming up on the Mizbeach from the fire, it'll ruin the wine because the wine will be exposed to the smoke of the Mizbeach. And as the Sfas Emes says, there is no option of covering the wine because the Torah wants that wine exposed. So in order to avoid having the wine exposed to the smoke, they went directly to the right spot without circling the Mizbeach. The same thing with the water. Machlokes HaAchronim, how to understand. Some say that the water, when it's exposed to smoke, becomes ruined. Others say that the halacha is that the water is supposed to be mayim chayim, and when the water is exposed to smoke, it's no longer considered mayim chayim. Vayil Saif, the third time we said that he goes directly to that spot without circling the Mizbeach, is by the Vayil Saif. Again, Shema Thomas Barshan. If he's going to be walking with this bird, who's a weak animal, around the home Mizbeach, and the bird's going to be exposed to the smoke, we're concerned it will suffocate from the smoke. Ask the Gemara V'Riminu. And we're going to learn, again, this is a Gemara Masechta Tumid, we're going to learn the Gemara the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara. We know that the halacha is that there were many kahanim, there were mishmairis and bateyav, and there were garolis, there were lots drawn, who should do the avodah. But the Kohen Gadol has a special rule. Kohen Gadol noitel chelik b'roish. He has a right to do whatever he wants. And the Mishnah, in fact, is discussing such a situation where the Kohen Gadol chose to do both the avoid of the, being makter the Avarim. He has a right to make that choice. And he also is going to do the avoid of the Nisach HaMayim, Nisach HaYayim. So says the Mishnah Masech Tamid, Bala lahak v'sim zbeach, as the Kohen Gadol wants to circle the Mizbeach, Ma'ayin Humaschel, which is the corner that he starts from, Mikaren Duramis Mizrachis. He starts at the southeast, moves on to Mizrachis Tzfonis northeast, moves on to Tzfonis Maravis northwest, and ends off with Maravis Duramis on the southwest, and that's where the Nois Lo Yayin LeNesach. So what do we see? It Posh Pshat the Gemara seems to be learning that when the Kohen Gadol, after he put the Avrim on the Mizbeach for the Ketoris, now is coming to do the Nisach HaYayin on the Mizbeach, it seems, and the spot for Nisach HaYayin, as we've been learning, is on the southwest corner. He walks around the entire circumference of the Mizbeach. We just said that when you're carrying the wine, don't walk around the circumference because you're going to ruin the wine from the smoke. Answers the Gemara, that's not the way to understand that Mishnah. Amar Rav Yochanan, the way to understand that Mishnah is Hakafa Beregel. What happened was different. What happened was the Kohen walked around the Mizbeach. But he didn't walk around the Mizbeach holding the wine. Because walking around the Mizbeach holding the wine will ruin the wine. He walked up the Mizbeach, did the Haktaras Avrim, held his hands empty, no wine. Walked around the Mizbeach, arrived at the southwest corner with no wine in his hand. And when he's standing by the southwest corner, they handed to him the wine. Why did they do it that way? Because we indeed don't want him walking around holding the wine. Why don't we want him walking around holding the wine? Because holding the wine is going to ruin the wine. And Amar Rava says, Rava Dekanami Diktani, Noisim Layayin Lanasech. The Mishnah, if we learn that Mishnah properly, the Mishnah says, only when he arrived at the southwest corner, then, and only then did they give him the wine. Why not before? Because they don't want him to carry the wine before. Like Tani, it doesn't say they just told him, Amalei Naseich, pour the wine that you're holding. Because he wasn't holding the wine. Why wasn't he holding the wine? Because the wine would get ruined. Shmamina. Interesting. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, David HaMelech calls Korban Oilis, Oilis Mechim. And the Mefarsh in the Medrash tries to understand what does David HaMelech call, what does it mean Oilis Mechim? The Medrash says an unbelievable pshat. He says, if somebody gets a dish, a food that he really enjoys, I don't know if it's proper manners, what he's going to do is, he's going to lick the plate. Memacha. Memacha means to lick. Oilis Mechim, says David HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys the carbon oilis that Klal Yisrael bring. Oilis Mechim, just he licks the plate, he enjoys the carbon oilis that we bring. And actually, it's a pasuk that we say every day. V'iloscha yedash nesela. Yadashna means the deshin. We've been speaking about the deshin. We see how choshev, the carbon oilus atah kodesh baruch hu, that even the deshin, just the ash of the carbon oilus, as we've learned in today's shir, is so valuable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabban, Kol Oilam Mizbeach, if somebody goes off the Mizbeach, Oilam Derech Yamin, V'yardin Derech Smol. Which means, Posh Pshat, as we have been learning, if you go up the Mizbeach, you walk up the right side of the ramp, because you're going to make a quick right turn, as we've been learning, go around the Mizbeach, and walk down the left side. Oilam Derech Mizrach, continues the Mbraisa, you're walking up, as we just described, you're going to be on the each side of the keves. When you're walking down, you're going to be walking down on the west side. Chutz min oil shlosh dvarim. The three exceptions, as we have been learning, nisach hamayim, nisach hayayin, oil soif. That there, she'olim derech marav. You walk right up along the west side of the keves, and you do your avoda, and then you walk right down the same way. V'yardin derech marav. But here's the difficult line: oilim derech yamin. Yardin Derech Yamin. Ask the Gemara, that's incorrect. Derech Yamin, Derech Smolhu, ask the Gemara. We just said that you walk, when you go to do these three avoidas, unlike normally when you're walking up the right side of the ramp, which is the Mizrach side, here because you're going to the Merovis, the Roimus corner, you walk up the west side, which is to your left. So how does the Braisa say that you walk up on the right side? Says the Gemara indeed. Amar Vina, Tani Smol. You have to change the Girsa. And you have to say it means the left side. Rav Amar, but Rav disagrees. He says, my yamin, yamin the mizbeach, my small the gavro. He says like this. You know, if two people are facing each other, so what's my right is going to be corresponding to your left, if we're looking. So Gemara says, the rice is to be understood as follows. The person who's walking up, so if we're looking at it from the perspective of the kohen walking up, it's indeed his left. But we look at it from the perspective of the Mizbeach, it's the right of somebody standing on the Mizbeach. So that's why it can be called left and right at the same time. But ask the Gemara the obvious question. You're right, we could take either perspective. We could take it from perspective of somebody walking up the ramp, or we could take it from perspective of somebody walking down the ramp. But we have to be consistent. Either the perspective from the Mizbeach, facing down, or the person facing up. But the Mishnah seems to be taking both. And the Braisa, if we're going to keep the Girsa, is be taking both, which is Kasha. As we have been learning, the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Mishnayis and the Gemaras that we're about to begin learning, continue discussing the Ezra Hashem Yisborach, the halachas of different Kabbonis Oifis. One of the Kabbonis Oifis is a Chatos Oif. When is a Chatos Oif brought? Number of situations. One, we've discussed numerous times, is carbon oil of a yared. A carbon oil of a yared means that if somebody did certain averus, he went into the base of English, when he was tamei, shvua, he made that he wasn't supposed to. If we have to look at his financial status. If he's wealthy, he brings an animal as a carbon chatas. If he doesn't have that ability, he brings two birds, one for chatas and one for oila. If he can't even afford that, he brings a carbon mincha. Actually, as we're about to learn our sugyas, we can answer a posh dakasha that I'm sure everybody's thought about. If the person is Baruch Hashem wealthy, what does he bring? One carbon. An animal for carbon chattis, by carbon oil of a yard. If he's not wealthy, what does he do? He has to bring two birds. One for a chattis, one for an oil. So I'm not talking dollars and cents, because probably two birds are still cheaper, less expensive than one animal. But I'm talking just svara. Here he would bring one carbon and carbon chattis. And why now, if he's bringing birds, does he have to bring both a carbon chattis and a carbon oiler? Where's the parity? But if we're going to learn our sugya well, we'll understand. Because when you bring an animal as a carbon chattis, as we have been learning, there's a part of the meat that's burnt on the mizbeach, and there's a part of the meat that's eaten by the kohanim. A chattis oif, there's no meat burnt on the mizbeach, it's all eaten by the kohanim. A oiler oif, there's nothing eaten by the kohanim, it's all burnt. So if we want to have an equivalent situation to an animal, we're going to have to bring two birds to get a part for the mizbeach and get a part for the kohanim. Who else brings a chatas oif? A mitzayr who has to bring a series of kabbanas. He can't afford, he has to bring an oila. a zav and a zava, a yeledes, all bring chatas ha'oif. So begins our Mishnah, chatas ha'oif, ketzer ha'yonasis. Exactly what was the procedure for chatas ha'oif? Unlike normally, where a bird is slaughtered, shchita is done, here melika, the Gemara will discuss it more, is done from the back of the neck, piercing it with the kohen's fingernail. And as we've discussed, the Asfin Daraisa, Rabbi Yosef Engel, asks, how do we understand the melika of a bird of kachim? Are we to understand melika to take the place of shchita? Or is it a special halacha? No. The only way you could eat a bird is with shchita. There's a special halacha said by kachim where shchita is not required. Shchita is not required. Veina mavdil. The halacha is, and we'll discuss this more in the Gemara, that you don't separate the head from the rest of the bird. Umaza medoma kira mizbeach. And then, and let me just say this outside before we do inside. There's a two-step process what to do with the blood of this chatas. The first step part of it is that they take the bird and they swing it up and down and the blood splatters on the side of the mizbeach. And then, maz medom al kir mizbeach, sharei hadam, and then afterwards they would take that bird after they did the swinging, hayim smatza al yisoid. They would squeeze it along on the wall of the mizbeach and the leftover blood would squeeze out and roll down the sides of the mizbeach. The aim, and as I said a moment ago, ein lemizbeach el adama, the only part of the carbon chatas oif that the mizbeach receives is the blood, because all of the meat of this bird kula l'kahanim. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, v'hizo midam hachatas, v'guf hachatas. To do the hazar, as we just described, of the chatas oif, you have to take the bird. Ha ketzad, exactly what is done. Oiches b'roish v'guf, you hold on to the bird, and you swing it up and down, umazal kerem mizbeach, and the blood splatters, sprinkles onto the wall of the mizbeach. However, it has to be on the mizbeach, for like kira keves, it can't be on the ramp, for like kira hechel, not on the wall of the mizmigdosh, for like kira olam. Veza, where on the wall do you do this? Zakira tachten, on the bottom half of the wall, under the chutas sakra. Ask the braisa, perhaps, oyein al kira elyon, perhaps you do it on the upper half. And says the Gemara, we can make an argument for that point. But dinhu, uma behema, when it comes to bringing an animal as a carbon, shalos lamata. The halach is that when you bring a carbon oila, behema, an animal for carbon oila, it's the zrika, as we've learned previously, is done on the bottom half of the mizbeach. Yet, the halach is that when you bring a chatas behema, as we've learned, the zrika is done at lamala, on the upper half. We learned that the zrik is done on the corners of the mizbeach by chatas. Oif. So we speak about a bird that, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, she'los lamala, oilas oif is brought on the upper half of the mizbeach. Certainly suggests the Gemara, ein adin she'chatos lamala, that a chatas oif should be on the upper half. Tam lima, that's why the pasuk says, v'nisha v'dam yimotza yisoid ha'mizbeach. Kir, it has to be squeezed on a spot, sheshrayim shleim esmatzen liyusoid, that the blood, after it is squeezed on the wall of the mizbeach, will flow uninterrupted. Veza ze kira tachten, which the Gemara means as follows. If you're going to squeeze the blood, you're going to sprinkle the blood on the upper half, so we have the soiviv, we have the ledge which protrudes, and it's going to interrupt the blood from flowing freely down to the yusoid. And that's against what the Torah wants. So it must be that the chatos ha'oif is sprinkled on the bottom half. Ask the Gemara, v'neved, perhaps what should be done? Do a two-step approach. Neved me'eloi v'hod neved mitatoi. First sprinkle it on the upper half. And then indeed you have this issue that it can't flow uninterrupted to the bottom. So sprinkle it again on the bottom half. Answers the Gemara. V'neved me'eloi v'hod neved mitatoi. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Miksev Yamtza Yematzik Ksev, the Memeilu Mashma. It has to flow, all of the blood has to flow uninterrupted, not some yes and some not. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zutra Batuvya Amar Rav, Ketzed Molgin Chatas Oif. Exactly, how was the bird held? So before we go further into the Gemara, there's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim which the Shita quotes. We certainly know, we've learned this earlier in the Masechta, that all avodah of the Kohanim has to be done with the right hands. So there is no question that the actual malika, the actual piercing of the back of the neck of the bird, has to be done with a fingernail of the right hand. The question is that becomes relevant in understanding this Gemara, because the focus of this Gemara that we're about to learn is how was the bird held when they did the malika. Many Rishonim are of the opinion, and that makes it obviously much more difficult, that the bird was held in the right hand. So you have to do two things. You have to hold the bird with your right hand and use this finger of that same hand to do the piercing. Makes it a very difficult avodah. Other Rishonim say that that's not the way to understand the Gemara. They want to say that it's virtually impossible to be able to hold a live bird and do the malika all with just the right hand, and the left hand to be ignored and kept on the side is just virtually impossible. They hold that the holding could still be done with the left, but the actual piercing in itself is very difficult. So again, you use two fingers to hold. So the first pshat holds that they held the bird in the palm of the hands. Two fingers were used to hold the wings. Shtei reglaim, two fingers were used to hold the two legs. Umaisach tzavara aroich of godloy. Then you spread out the skin over the back of the neck. Umalkai, and that's how you do the malika. And again, as I said, it makes a difference if it's all in one hand or two hands. So according to this, where was the bird held? It was held in the palm of the hand. But in the Brice they learned, Tzipra Mabar, that it wasn't held in the palm, it was held on the back of the hand. And again, the difference between the two pshatim is just on what part of the hand was it, on the palm or the back. But again, the wings were held down with two fingers, you do the malika. Vizu, says the Gemara, avoid the kasha shiva mikdash. It's a very difficult avoid. So as the Rishonim explained, certainly, as we just explained, if you have to hold the bird in your hand and also do the malika with that same hand, we could understand why it's so difficult. But even if you were able to use two hands, explain the Rishonim, to take just a fingernail, nothing more, and pierce the bone that's in the back of the neck of the animal, as we're going to learn in the further sugyas, that was part of the avodah malika, is also very difficult. So the Braisa commented, the zu avodah kashya mikdash, this was a very difficult avodah. Ask the Gemara, zuhi v'suloi, is this the only difficult avodah? V'yikach kamitza, we've learned, and we will learn in Masechta Menachos, that the halacha is that when they did kamitza, they could only use of a carbon mincha, they could again only use one hand, and you needed a lot of dexterity. The chafina is an avoid on Yom Kippur. We learned this in Masechta Yuma, that the halacha is that the Kohen Gadol had to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim with a handful of coals and a pan to do k'tiris, and the Gemara even suggests in Masechta Yuma that he had to hold the pan in his mouth. Very difficult. So how are we saying that this is a difficult avoida? So the Gemara, el zuy avoid the kashma, avoid the kashma shvemigdish. Two ways of understanding this teretz. One way of understanding this teretz is that of these three avoidas, that indeed kmitza, chafina, and malika are the three most difficult avoidas. Malika is the most difficult of the three. Others say the Gemara isn't rating the three. The Gemara is just saying that these are the three difficult avoidas, and malika is one of them. In fact, I saw a fascinating vart from the Michs Lazar. Michs Lazar says that we all remember Rashi in Chumash in Parashas Noach says that the animals that came to the Teva came by themselves. Says the Michs Lazar that the same was regarding the animals and birds that were brought as Kabbanis. Animals and birds that were brought for Kabbanis, nobody had to force them. They came on their own. And he goes on to say that was the case in Beis Hamikdash Rishon, where there was a high level of Kedusha in Klal Yisrael. The Beis Hamikdash Sheni, which didn't have that same high level, they didn't have the birds coming by themselves, they didn't have the animals coming by themselves, but says the Michs Lazar, the birds came by themselves willingly to be slaughtered. Because the Michs Lazar says, if among, if with all the difficulty that we just learned involved in doing Malika, you also had to fight a bird that doesn't want to be held, it would be impossible. It would be impossible. So says the Mechzalozer, even in the Beis Hamikdash Sheni, and certainly in the Beis Hamikdash Rishon, any bird that was brought for carbon came willingly. And therefore that wasn't a problem. That wasn't a challenge. Continues the Mishnah. Oilus Oif. Oilus Oif, again, there are a number of situations where Oilus Oif has to be brought. A Yeledis has to bring Oilus Oif. The halacha was when somebody was Megayer, they had to bring an Oilus Oif. Many Rishonim suggest that when they brought Bikurim, they would bring along an Oilus Oif. And actually, the halacha is that a person, just like he could donate a behemoth as an oiler, he could donate an oif as an oiler. Ketzad nasis, how exactly was it brought? Olal kavis, he walks up the ramp, uval funnel l'soiviv, and you go on to the ledge, uval l'ken dromis mizrachis, and he comes, the kohen comes to the southeast corner, hayimaylachis roishim mol arpa, he did malika, umavdal, and he separates the neck, the head from the neck. Machloikas Rishonim, what does Mavdal mean? Some Rishonim say the difference between a Chatas Oif and an Oilus Oif is a Chatas Oif only one Simon is cut. We know there's a Konavesha, two Simonim. By Chatas Oif, only one of the Simonim are cut. And by the Oilus Oif, both Simonim are cut. Other Rishonim say that the difference is more profound. By Chatas Oif, the neck stays connected to the animal. But Oilus Oif, the neck has to be completely separated. Furthermore, Umitzas Tamal Kirim is Beach, which, as we learned a moment ago in the previous Mishnah, that by the Chatas Oif, what they did was they used to swing the bird up and down and then do Mitzui. Here there was only one step, Mitzui. Here too we have a Machlokes Rishonim. How was the Mitzui, which is the only avoidant, the Oilus Oif, done? Some Rishonim say it was done the same way as by Chatas Oif. They squeeze the neck of the animal along the wall of the Mizbeach, in the spot that we're learning, the bottom part of the southeast, the upper part of the southeast. Others say that they just took the neck into the hand, in the fingers of the kohen, and that's how the kohen squeezed the neck and the blood came out. Interesting, powerful vart from the Shem Shmuel. We're learning in our Mishnah, and our Mishnayis, one of the distinctions between an Oilus Oif and a Chatas Oif is what we just discussed, separating the head from the animal or not. Chatas Oif it wasn't, Oilus Oif it was. Why? What's the meaning behind this halacha? Says the Shem Shmuel the following word. What is an Oilus Oif brought? An Oilus Oif is brought, we know, Oilus is brought for Hirhurim, if somebody has improper thoughts. So what is the lesson? The lesson, says the Shem Shmuel, sometimes a person has improper thoughts. You can't control what comes into your head. What could you control? You could control that you shouldn't act on those thoughts. So we separate, says the Shem Shmuel, the head from the rest of the body. You might have had this improper machshava, but be careful that it doesn't get into your system. Separate your system. Don't act on that improper machshava. What happened? Why was a chatas oif brought? A chatas oif was brought where you didn't act. We just spoke before, covered oil of yoy, we actually did an aveira. So that means your head and your body were connected and doing something improper. That's why they should be disconnected. Beautiful vart. Says the Mishnah further, in the process of the oilus oif, notl sarosh, they took the head of this bird, the hikuf base, they put the place where it was cut on the mizbeach, the sofk b'melech, and some say that they actually put it into the salt. Some say they put salt on top of it. Some say they put salt into the cavity of the bird. The zarkai al-gabishim, they threw the head onto the fire. Balay l'guf, now we come to the actual body of the bird. They disconnect, which we discussed at the beginning of this year, the crap, the wheat, the feathers, the intestines. Hayotzim, they come along when you cut them out. V'shlicham l'beis adeshin, as we discussed at the beginning of this year. Shisa, they split open the bird, v'loim hivdol, but not completely separating it into two. However, im hivdol, if it does separate, it's still kosher. Sofka b'melech, they put on salt. V'zarkai agabi ishim, and they would throw it onto the fire. Says the Mishnah, Loy heiser hamayra v'loy anoitzu v'espnei mayim. If they didn't separate the crap, the feathers, and the intestines, hayoytzum amem, v'loy safk b'melech, nor did they salt it, says the Mishnah, kol sheshinabah, ma'achar shemitzes tama. If anything was deviated after the Zrikas Adam, since the Zrikas Adam is the most crucial part of the Avoida, the carbon remains kshayla.